We don't know. You won't need the tape, so forget him anyway. Just cut it off there. Let's rise at this time. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for mercy and grace, the love of Almighty God that floods our hearts through the Holy Spirit, knowing, Lord, that it's just as it was way back there in the beginning when you set forth your word, not having said one word about how you love mankind, and you said to Israel to love the Lord God with all their hearts, and they certainly should by the way you took them out of Israel. You showed your love, absolutely have always demonstrated your love, and then, Lord, you expect us to reciprocate, just as the word says here, and not that we love God, but here in his love, but he loved us, not imputing our sins to us, and here we have the same manifestation of your love again. No wonder we ought to love you, and it would be demanded of us that we do love you, and we do love you. And we believe, Lord, also that whoever loves you, loves this word, loves this message, loves every part of the revelation, will also love his brother. And we believe, Lord, that there is such a thing as knowing who brothers are. Perhaps we don't know too clearly at this hour, but we'll be knowing more and more as we go along. And we know, Lord, we'll be going more and more into the glory which has been reserved for this very moment. So, Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'll help us now to be as we've never been before in the sobriety and sincerity of this moment, of this day in which we are living, because it means everything in history. It's the countdown, it's the showdown, it's the consummation. What manner of men we ought to be, that's certainly true. So help us this morning, Lord, because we've been negligent. We certainly have been negligent in our sincerity and sobriety and our application of ourselves to this word especially, that we might know the richness of the grace of the life that lies within it, because we can know it mechanically, spiritually, and then reverberating into the physical to where there's a people that are going to be literally changed in their very life.
Things are possible, we believe, only believe. All things are possible, only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're again grateful tonight for the majesty of your presence, the glory of your presence, and all that it isn't who comes with it, Lord, for we know that Paul said that if God spared not his only begotten Son, but freely deliver him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? And we know we're at the end of the ages when the all things of God are all in a bride, because we have become all things to you. And therefore all things now, Lord, we know are resident in us, in the sense that they are bestowed upon us gratuitously, and we're just waiting for the proper steps to be taken to finalize it all. And we know that it has been finalized to us way back before the foundation of the world, the Lamb having already shed his blood figuratively at that time. And now absolutely not anymore in a figure, but perfectly shed, and all things are now freely given to us, and we appreciate that. Help us tonight in the study of your word, Lord, that it may enrich us and increase us in your knowledge. Give us strength for the journey. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, last Tuesday, I went into 2 Peter, and we'll go into that again. Reading in the first chapter, and then I'll begin to catch up on what I really had in mind, because there was a lot of different things said. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus, or Jesus our Lord. Now you'll notice in here that there is no separation between God and Jesus, who is the Christ, though they are not one. This is something that most people don't understand. They think that Brother Branham was Jesus only. He wasn't. He even goes so far as to call Jesus the body, which to you and me would be like something a little derogatory. But it isn't. You have to use the words that mean something. And at no time did Jesus ever say of himself that he was God, because God cannot be born and God cannot die. What people don't realize is that you as men and women are no more sons and daughters, no more your father and mother, but you are the attributes of them. And this is where so many people are off. But what you have is always the devil tries to take anything that is brought to preeminence or to eminence or to that which is pertinent and tries to destroy it. The doctrine of Jesus only started out right because the premise is there is one God. But that God is not flesh. That God is spirit. And if God wishes to have a body, he could have made that body an act of creation. It's just like when Jesus was on earth, he took fishes and bread, and then he multiplied the loaves and fishes. He took a shortcut from water to wine without it going through the process of the grape, as Brother Branham said. And he didn't create. Well, God could have created a body, but he didn't. What he did, he took the attributes and put them in a form that could be associated with mankind through the womb of Mary. Her impregnation was not an act of man. Her dropping of an egg into her womb was not an act of a woman. God formed in the womb the egg and the sperm in order that God and man would share a preeminence. And this is what you're reading here. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus, who is the Christ. All right, now you notice he's using terminology here as to who he is and where his headship is, his relationship. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. You will notice where he is putting one and the other, not pitting one against the other, but giving you an understanding from whence you get both. Now, God couldn't be Savior unless he became a man, because salvation requires blood, and God per se does not have blood. Well, you, flesh and God, Jesus himself said, handle me and see a spirit hath not flesh and bone. Well, it hasn't got blood either. No. That's why when Sumral tells how that he was over there in the Philippines and cast the devil out of a girl, and this devil, now I just can't remember all about it exactly, but anyway, Sumral ended up with a handful of hair that the doctors or the technicians in the lab, whoever they were, who cares, said it's neither human or animal. So therefore, Sumral drew the conclusion it was spirit. A spirit hath not hair. Now there's some pretty hairy spirits. I might as well make a joke out of it all the way. Very, very hairy spirits, but they don't have hair. I'm sorry about that. Neither are they green or pink or yellow. Now, all right, you're seeing a relationship of excellency and a power of which it would be very difficult in any way to exceed to a superiority of God over Jesus as far as you and I are concerned. Now, I didn't say as far as Jesus and God are concerned. I said you and I are concerned. Ha ha, you weren't listening. So I had to repeat. And I hope you caught what I was saying. Because there is a difference. See, Jesus had a beginning, God didn't. Even going back to the pre-existence, we're going to talk about it. So, I want to tell you something. And don't get mad at me now. Because this is a bombshell. Because you see, people don't listen. Every bombshell is atomic. The old blockbusters that were dropped over Germany are nothing to a couple of atoms. A teaspoon of water could blow up New York, understand, if you can break even those atoms. I'm not quite sure, and I care less. But, now listen carefully. Jesus only is not of God. Then I want to ask you a question. Where is it from? Now right there, you're going to sit and say, well, Brother Bale, you see, the original was really wonderful and pure, but he got a little bit off. And I tell you, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but you know, I've been thinking today. And my thinking, you know, just, it goes spiraling up. And it doesn't spiral up to go to the Empire State Building and then jump off. It spirals up to go up. I kid you not. All right. 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Then in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. One word off is Satan's kingdom. Where did the original line come from? Satan. Then if Jesus only is not a true doctrine, where did it come from? Oh, we're all too nice, though. Thank you. Bishop Johnson? Huh. His doctrine could have been right. I don't know if Jesus only or what. I know that even to be baptized in only that name is wrong. Now, it is enough that the Son be like the Father. Remember, there's coming a time when the kingdom is handed back to God.
We must be careful to understand that. That you do not pit Jesus against God. You do not misunderstand the place of one as against the place of another. For he said, I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another comforter. He didn't say, I'm going to pray myself or pray my officers and that. He, as the one who went up after the order of Melchizedek, as the great high priest, the appointed executor over his own will, he said, I'm going to pray the Father, and because of my office, of who I am, the Holy Spirit will descend upon people. Now, notice what it says here. Have obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God. Not even our Savior Jesus Christ, although in the Greek the word K is, can be a preposition or a conjunction. But both are mentioned here. One is the righteousness of God, which is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And when you speak of Savior, you're speaking of that one that shed his blood. Now, Jesus is called the blood of God because the life was there. And it was the life in the egg and the sperm. Through the chemistry of Mary's body, brought him forth. But let's understand the attributes were there. Now we'll get into attributes sometime, but not tonight. Now he said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have one without the other. A man says he's got God and denigrates Jesus Christ, forget it. A man says he's got Jesus Christ and denigrates the Father, forget it. Oneness as Jesus only is out. He never was in. Never was. See? Now, there was a time when God fully indwelt a man. All of God. And the voice that came through him was not sepulchral, but it was the voice of the Holy Spirit himself speaking through Jesus. And not as a prophet, though he was a prophet, and therefore in that respect as a prophet. But you see, a prophet is only the voice of God. And he who was wisdom and knowledge. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Second chapter, I think. Maybe it's first chapter. For of him are ye in Christ, who of God is, verse 30, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now we are in him. Now that's spiritual. And you'll see what was poured into the physical. The wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, all of it was poured into him. So therefore, if anybody glories or has anything to say, it is going to be because of the great plan of God, which was made available to us. Amen. Through the redemption which was in Christ Jesus. All right. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You notice the knowledge is requisite on both counts. He that hath seen me has seen the Father. So there is no such thing as a true revelation of God without having a true revelation of Jesus Christ. There is no such thing as having a true revelation of Jesus Christ without having a true revelation of God. Forget it. Can't do it. To be right is to be 100% right. You can't be off. Amen. This is one thing that allows no contamination. Now, government passed a lot of laws. Now, I know this is a little bit nauseating, but you might as well know it because you do know it. So, how many hundred pounds of wheat that's ground into flour, the government allows so many ounces or whatever it is of rat droppings in it. And the chocolate you eat, you allow so many ants and vermin in it. They just say, be careful to strain the hair out. And grind the droppings so they're not noticed. Put some coloring in there. You may want, never want to eat again when I'm through preaching tonight. Well, that's fine. A lot of you could take a little weight off and do you good. But let's, now God doesn't allow it. His manna is pure. And people don't like pure manna. Like I said last Sunday, coal oil and a little bit of gasoline poured in, they couldn't take it. Well, I was just going to give them fuel for the journey, bless God. How did that spaceship get up there? Solid fuels, not your gases. We didn't get those satellites up there launched, as far as I know, by gases. They were by solid fuels. And Russia was ahead of us for years on that count. Is solid fuel going to get us there, brother, sister? That's not going to be full of droppings. The manna, the bread of God, will not be full of droppings. Pure, unadulterated. Now, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now, you'll notice that God hath put His divine power to our benefit. So then, light and godliness, the maximum, see, of perfections, which are always computed and resolved as goodness, righteousness, virtue, never evil. All of this is given to us through the knowledge of Him. Now that knowledge, people say, well, you see, Brother Bale, that's a personal knowledge. How could you have a personal knowledge of God without an actual revelation? On Mars Hill one day, Paul saw them worshiping to the unknown God. He said, I'm going to declare the one that you are worshiping. Paul, Brother Branham said they had a feel toward God. And so therefore in their feeling they went this way and that way and every other way in their feeling, deep calling to a deep. But if you don't get a hold of the right deep, you're gone. Because there's another deep out there too. Remember Jesus one day said, after this manner you pray, which is known as the disciples' prayer, our Father which art in heaven. Well, I got news for you. The devil also is a father in heaven. He's a prince of the power of the air. Which one could you be praying to? Well, you say, I don't believe that. Then you don't believe the word of God because it says Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Amen.
See? Now, unto us are given these great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now he's telling you how you get there. The rebirth. There's only one way to get there. By the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now then, we mention these virtues, and I don't want to take a lot of time with them. So, we just read through. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To your virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. Godliness, brother, kindness. Brotherly kindness, charity. Now, some people get to the place of godliness, and they think they're just like God. Oh, come on. Until the day you die or come in the resurrection, there is no such thing as physical perfection, no way, no how. The only living people that's ever going to be on earth at one time as a group is going to be a little tiny minority bride. And that has nothing to do with her. It is a free gift of grace. She doesn't attain to it because she's got something on her own. She attains to it because of choice and positioning by choice. Because it is foreknowledge and election and predestination. That's according to purpose and plan. and a calling out and a putting her right where she belongs. All right. Brotherly kindness is the last one. That's the seventh church age. And that's a stickiness. And then love, which is God himself. For if these things being you abound, they make you be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you will notice that each one of these in knowledge is experiential. That you go right through with these, which is a development and an opening up of the presence of God in your life. And thereby, as you're birthed into it, you begin working with it, and you see the magnificence of God. You can't see it otherwise. There's no way. In other words, it's turned from a mechanical knowledge and a revelatory knowledge to a dynamic knowledge. Brother Branham mentioned faith. And then he mentioned virtue. I've been all through that. And I've been through it with you. And then we have a knowledge. And the knowledge goes to temperance. You notice sometimes it's kind of late in life that people get temperate. Not because they've slowed down. Because they've earned over a period of time that they've got to be temperate. Temperance brings forth patience. Patience brings forth godliness. Sure. Because now you're ready to wait for God to move and do things instead of you jumping in and doing them. And then there's brotherly kindness and love. Now, you will not be fruitless. You won't be barren. You'll be a real producing Christian. That's what Jesus said over there in John 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Abide in me. Because the branch cannot bear fruit in itself, neither can you. Now notice the progression of this fruit by virtue. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he is purged from his old sins. Now, he's going to go over here again and bring those same people up where it had been better for them not to know the way of righteousness. After they'd known it, to affirm from the holy commandment delivered unto them, but it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, that the dog has turned his vomit again, the sow washed her wallowing. Now, we aren't dogs and we aren't pigs. Now, he's telling you over here that unless a person is in this specific category, he never was born again in the first place. Because if you're born again, all this is going to be working out to the sealing of God. Now, in other words, you come right to the peak where God wants you. So you're not taken off the scene because you won't obey, but you'll live out your years and you'll be taken away as a Christian. That's fulfilled the will of Almighty God so that your life is truly spiritual, sealed in by the Holy Spirit. And completely sealed in by the Holy Spirit at the end time is where there'll be a bride standing here that won't even die. She'll be taken away. She gets to brotherly kindness. Now notice there's a revelation of the Father in the Son. And there's a real knowledge. Now, wherefore rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Peter wrote this. How did he feel when he was confronted by the Apostle Paul that said, Peter, you've sinned? Let's find out if I'm telling you the truth. Let's go back here to Galatians. All right. Verse 11. Chapter 2, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before the certain came from James, he ate with the Gentiles. And when they were coming, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Peter turned coward again. He couldn't stand the pressure from James. No wonder Luther called it a straw book. It's not a straw book. You've got to understand what James is saying. But something from James went all messed up when it got to Peter. Because he had a delegation of pressure. You understand? That's where the Galatians came from. It's already started. Oh, you say Brother Bill was a bat there. Come on. We had a big mouth woman who had a couple of sons. And she knew there was something going on, kind of a lady preacher. And so she came to Jesus. He said, when you come in your kingdom, I can smell something on the horizon there. Could both of my sons sit in your left hand and right hand? Now she knew she couldn't get in. She didn't have a mate, but the two boys got in. She had the best place in the kingdom. They just take Jesus by both arms and cart him away. Mama get her away. Ha! So much for your perfections. I'm not playing up sin. I'm just telling you one thing, brother, sister. Grace is the answer, or you ain't none of you going to make it. I'm not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Sit here and fry. People got an idea when after Peter was rebuked and after Pentecost, which from the circumcision. And other Jews assembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Barnabas and Paul got in a fight. Yeah, preachers fight. And God have pity on the jerk preacher that doesn't stand for truth. Because he's a dumb dog. He's a dog, all right. When I saw they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as the do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Before Peter went in. Now the pressure comes. Ha! Let me tell you something. The squeeze is down. The pressure's on. I'll tell you, I would sure watch my tongue before I call presence a puke doctrine. John Martin better watch his tongue. And don't take that off the tape. And I'll find out somebody lied to me. Let's get this flat. We are Jews by natures and not sinners, the Gentiles, knowing that man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we who believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified. By the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And it opened the door to the Galatians to get legalism in there. You must be circumcised. You must be this, you must be that. Hogwash, you must be born again.
Right, amen.
See? Okay, let's go back to Peter. I'm not mad at anybody. I just preach hard. And a hard preacher. Okay. Now he says here, now brethren, he said, you make your calling election sure. How are you going to make it sure? You bring everything to the light. Listen, you're sitting here tonight and you're like me. Used to be like me. I mean, you're like I used to be. And maybe you changed. You're afraid to bring what's the matter with you to the word. Because you say, Brother Vale, I'll be condemned. That's where the devil's got you by the short hair, and he's got you fueled by these idiot legalists out there. When you bring to the light yourself and what you believe and everything else, the blood goes to work for you, but not until then. I'd be scared to bring certain things to the word and to the light. Certain sermons for certain things Brother Branham said. Till one day I said, hey, you can't evade it. Look it right in the eye. I looked it right in the eye. I had a jaundiced eye, and my eyes were cockeyed. Unless your eyes trap, you can't look down the road right, and you can't see it. Where you've been wrong, bring it to the light. And when you do, you're forgiven. Who is it, Brother Vale? I'm scared. You're an idiot. Time you smartened up. Bring it to them. The minute you do, you watch. The blood goes to work for you. But until that time, you're under bondage. And you're a servant of your sin nature. They should be annihilated. And there's only one way to annihilate it. Bring everything to the blood. How do you do it? Through the light. There's no condemnation in which are in Christ Jesus. Okay, let's go back to John.
Trouble is, I stand up here and I want to start preaching the whole Bible just because I don't use notes. See, no preacher should be without notes, or he becomes a very noteless preacher. All right, listen. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. That's John 3:16. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Then He tells you what it is. This not believing in the name. This is a condemnation. Lights come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Now then, a man that hates his deeds can't stand what he's done at all. Bring it right to the Lord. And if you haven't committed the unforgivable sin, you're free. And if you've committed the unforgivable sin, forget it, you're lost. You say, oh, Brother Bale, what if the devil told me I committed the unforgivable sin? And I'm worried. Then you haven't committed it.
Amen.
You haven't committed it. Because your conscience would be seared with a hot iron to call Jesus of the devil and his prophet William Branham of the devil. Let me prove it. Come on. Yeah. What's the matter? I'm not mad to anybody. I'm just getting impatient. Time's running out, bless God, and we're still crudding around here about stupid little things. Listen. Matthew 12:22. This is for the Gentiles. This is what happened back there, and this is the truth. Then was brought in one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and healed insomuch the blind and dumb both spake and saw, and all the people of me said, is not this the Son of David? In our case, is not this the Son of Man? The Pharisees heard it. They said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thought, and He said, every king divided against itself brought desolation in every city, and house divided against itself shall not stand, and Satan cast out Satan divided against itself, how shall kingdom stand? It tells you right there that these people looked Him right in the eye, in the face of the evidence, in the face of every single solitary thing that was proven concerning Him, and they said, why, this is not the Son of David, this is the other son. This is the other guy. This ain't the Christ, this is Antichrist. And so when the Jesus-only people, the UPC and the whole bunch, and the Trinitarians branded William Branham, servant of God, Elijah of this hour, of the devil, they lost out with God, period.
Amen.
When they knowingly did it. And they're still doing it. And there's those that walk softly. They say, well, I might not agree with him, but I know he had something real. And they walk softly. Those people have not blasphemed the Holy Ghost. They are not blaspheming the Word. But there is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And when you do, you'll be tough as nails. And harder than steel. And a face and a spirit that's adamant like flint. You'll stand right there and say, this whole thing stinks. It's of the devil. That's exactly what the bunch did in Simpson's bunch. The Christian Missionary Alliance up at Nyack in New York. When the Spirit of God began to fall. And people were speaking in tongues. They saw licks of fire. And they branded the whole thing of the devil. They died. They're still dead. You don't blaspheme the Holy Ghost, brother, sister. Get away with it. Woman came to Brother Branham. Man also, I forget who it was. Different ones came. I remember the case myself. We were involved with one. Person said, I've blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Right on tape even. He said, no, you haven't. He said, that's the case, you wouldn't be coming here if you had blasphemed me. You wouldn't be worried. And yet I find people around the country try to go against, they just won't listen to the prophet. They just won't believe it. Okay, there you are. Now let me see if you a little further. It says, verse 31, and Brother Branham brought it to this hour. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man be forgiven him. But who speaks a word against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven him. In this world and the world to come. That was back there. But when he comes again as Son of Man, which is the Holy Ghost, it's too late. It's all over. Back to 2 Peter. All right. Now, Verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Now he said, what's being presented to you, you are established in. Why? Because they're born again. They're part of this. And the process of growth and fruit and so on, coming, being right up to the ceiling. Where men having their senses exercised unto godliness are standing as we ought to stand. How could an elder possibly be an elder and a deacon if they didn't have some experience like this? Now he said, I think it meet as long as in this tabernacle stir you up by putting your remembrance. Knowing that shortly I was put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always remembrance. For if we have not followed cunning devised fables, when we made known unto you the power. See? That's the dunamis. And the coming, that's the presence of Christ. But we're eyewitnesses' majesty. For he received from God. Now God doesn't receive from God. Just try it with the IRS. Using a pretty good salary bracket, just give yourself a nice present. Try to get the IRS to, to agree with it. Ha! All right, he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. Now the Son didn't say it, God said it. And this voice which you heard from heaven, which came from heaven we heard, when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Now, but we have not a more sure word of prophecy, but the word of prophecy made more sure. Whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star rise in your hearts. Now he's telling the people something. This is for the end time people when Peter is gone. See? What happened there was Scripture fulfilled in a vision. As Brother Branham said, you can go to your visions phenomena, but he said, you better make sure you go to the Word first and find out there's one with the Word. All right. Under light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Now, knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scriptures, any in private interpretation, now it tells you that what's coming is related to this incident, which is what he was talking about in the preceding verses. Now, he doesn't have two subjects here. He's got one subject, which is pointing the people to a consummation. Which consummation he already saw in a figure. And he said, I was there when it happened. And it's going to happen again. Now he's leading the people up to it. At this time of glorification. Rapture. Now, you know, the light at the end time will shine in a dark place. Come on. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Let's go back and take a look at it. Verse 3. What shall be the sign of thy presence? Verse 27. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shines to the west, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. They were trying to get where he was put by God. And you can only get there by grace. You can only get there by what God does for you. Now, the day star rise in your hearts. There's going to be a dark time. Knowing this verse of no prophecy of Scriptures, any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they're moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, he's relating that to the apex of what we're looking forward to, which is glorification. Now watch. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, privately bringing in damnable heresies, denying the Lord that bought them, saying no to Him, declining Him, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Now listen, there's only one they can decline, and that's the Logos. Let's go back to Romans, to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you ignorant, how that all our fathers run to the cloud and all pass through the sea. We're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea. Ate the same spiritual meat. Drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. See, all things were made by Him. So you're looking at it. You're seeing who you're looking at. Now, that one was made flesh. Okay? That one is in our midst now. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken of. I am the way, the truth, and life. It says right there, he'll be evil spoken of.
That's right. Amen.
See? Now, and through covetousness shall with feigned words make merchandise of you. They'll buy and sell you. That's right. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbers not. Now notice, he's got to be talking about a spirit that comes all down through the ages. Now let's find out if that's true or not. Now watch. Go to chapter 3 of 2 Peter. This second epistle, beloved, I now write to you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now watch. He says here, chapter 1, verse 15, I'm endeavoring that after my decease, you'll have these things all as remembrance, for we have not followed cunning devised fables. He said, I was there. I know whereof I speak. I saw the glory. I saw the apex. I saw the end of it. I know where we're going. I know what we're coming to. Now then, he tells you in verse 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy. The word of prophecy made more sure. Why? Because his was only a vision. Now this is not going to be a vision to you and me. It's going to be a literal happening. Now he said, listen, I want you to take heed, and it's going to come as a light in a dark place. Knowing this first. What first? Before you get your change. Before you come to transfiguration. There's no prophecy of scriptures of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as removed by the Holy Ghost. Alright? Listen again, verse 15. I'm going to endeavor to keep you these things in remembrance. Now, chapter 3, verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I write, in both to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of our apostles, and Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in these last days, walk the scoffers, walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his presence? His presence here glorified. And we heading for it. We're reaching out for it. And you're going to get it on earth because that's where Jesus was. He wasn't in heaven. He was on a mountaintop. The church is a pyramid. The one at the top coming down is Christ. Puts himself at the head of the church in order to bring about a glorification, which we've got to have. Now listen, Watch it again. We have not followed cunning device fables, little morals. We made known to you the power and the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ for eyewitnesses. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from the answering glory. Voice raises the dead. The voice of God speaking. Jesus does all three in descending. And he's here in the form of the Holy Spirit, which is God. He was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. Now here he is. Now tells you that it comes as the Son of Man. In evening time it shall be late. Fulfilling Matthew 12. Jumping over here again. Second epistle I write to stir up your minds in remembrance. Mindful of the word spoken by the Holy Prophet. The commandments of our apostles and Lord and Savior. Knowing this first. They'll come in the last days. Scoffers walking after their own lust. Now he's warned you in here about false teachers. Now over here you've got scoffers. They're the same bunch. Saying, where is the promise of his parousia? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were in the beginning of creation. Now, they're talking about presence in the glorified form when your concern is your glorified form. And you don't get that in the air. You get it now. The dead are here in their glorified form before they're caught up, and so are we. Now, how do you get your glorified form? The same one that raised him is the same one that raises us. He puts himself the head of the church to raise the dead. It is Christ the first fruit after a day that are his at his presence. Then it goes into action to begin to put the kingdom right back in God's hands. Because that's what you're looking at. A glorified seed. Don't you understand the seed that was planted has turned to grain? It's come back to original form. Proving it by the fact of his presence, doing the same thing he didn't hear is here in the flesh. To the Gentiles, he is a name. To Israel, he was a flesh. Yeah. All right, where is his presence? The Father's balance of all things continues that were in the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world then was being overflowed to the water perished. But now, the heavens and earth which are now by the same word are kept in store reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. That's destruction of ungodly men. Oh, you say that's white throne judgment. No, it's on this side of the millennium and then it's on that side of the millennium. And let's get this flat, brother. When, sister, when you're dealing with this here, you are dealing with the wrath of God. Now the white throne judgment is not the wrath of God. No judge can vent his spleen in a verdict.
Amen.
Because he doesn't go by his own ideas. He goes strictly by a word, and the verdict is handed down, and the state takes over.
Right. Amen.
It's in the glorified form. When God incarnates himself, this begins to take place. You'll see a burning over of what's coming. The earth being purified, because Brother Brad said it had to be purified. But beloved, be not ignorant of one thing. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now listen, he's talking about repentance. There is no repentance at the end of the millennium. It's on this side.
Amen.
You don't have a chance over there. You merely account. You give an account. But the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Now he goes from here to the other side of the millennium where the elements are dissolved. Now, looking for and hastening, verse 12, unto the coming of the day of God. That's when the very day of God is present. For in heavens and earth being on fire be dissolved, the elements now with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to that, is his promise. Look for new heavens and new earth. Even as we're looking for the millennium set in. All right. Now, what I was doing, I'm going to take a few minutes to recap this whole thing. To get you an understanding what I had in mind here. Which is in 2 Peter. Now watch carefully. Verse 2 of chapter 1. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. according as his divine power is given unto us. All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who hath called us to glory and virtue. Now the call of God is to glory. Okay. Over here, verse 17, first chapter. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice in from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. All right. The first manifested Son. The others will follow in order, as the Scripture told us, Paul telling us, Scripture telling us. All right. What we're looking at here, and I'm trying to get you from last week, maybe better understood if I now read. I showed you one place glory, next place glory. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. All right, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, but blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. According, he hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted in the beloved. All right. Now with this, in verse 11, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first hoped in Christ. Now watch. In verse 15, wherefore also I heard you, your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks, you make mention of my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Now, if he's the Father of glory, he is siring that which is glorious. Amen. See? Okay. Let's find out what it is. 2 Corinthians. 3rd chapter. Now, verse 7, but the ministration of death written in graven in stones was glorious. So the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which was to be done away. How much shall the ministration of spirit be more glorious, or out of proportion glorious? Tremendous, you see, you can't count it. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more to the ministration of righteousness exceeding glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Now listen, you can't deny, and nobody can deny, that a life lived in the Spirit of God, in human form, is the greatest thing that could happen to anybody. You can't deny it. Without even being glorified. Just go ahead and die. And you can die well satisfied. Yet Paul said, if in life, or this life only, we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. The great thing down the road is human glorification. The body being glorified. Alright, listen. Now, we're going to use great plainness of speech, said Paul. Not as Moses put a veil over his face, the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. That's the glory. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But unto this day even, when Moses read the veils upon the heart. Nevertheless, little turn of the Lord, the veil would be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, that's with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now it tells you the same Spirit that raises the dead is the one that changes us. See? Now let's find out how it's done. It's by looking in the Word. All right? Moreover, I'll endeavor that you be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For he said, I'm not one that devises fables and cunning tales. But I was right there in the presence and power of Christ. I witnessed his majesty. A glorification and a figure. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. He sure did, but he wasn't even glorified. It was a vision. Jesus said, say, see, thou tell the visions of no man. And there came a voice saying, this is my beloved Son. And you're getting a picture of him in the future kingdom when he comes in his glory. Let's find out. Let's go back to Matthew 16, verse 26, 28. I say there's some standing here that'll not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. I didn't say the Son of Man without a kingdom. Son of Man ministry, it's the Son of Man coming in a kingdom. Now, verse 9, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. All right, now the Son of Man's risen from the dead. He's glorified. And Peter said we saw the prefigure. Now he said, there's something beyond that. What was in the mountain? What is it? The glorification coming on the bride. Now, he said, it's going to come as light in a dark place. Now, knowing this, no prophecy of Scripture is any private interpretation. In other words, God is not going to get a man to interpret this. God is going to do it Himself. And when He does it Himself, a bunch of false teachers are going to rise up. A bunch of scoffers are going to rise up. Now let me tell you something. There's going to be people pulling their hair pretty soon. Say, when's it going to come? When's it going to come? When's it going to come? And we'll be gone. And they'll still be saying, when's he going to come? When's he going to come? Because Brother Brand said so. It's already done past. Now he said it's a willing thing they're doing. Okay. Let's find out. Luke 6, Matthew, Luke 17. Verse 20, his disciples, the Pharisees demanded, when the kingdom of God comes, he said, it was without observation. It's right in the middle of you now, and you don't know it. He said, disciples, he said, you'll desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. And they'll say, go here, go there. He said, I'm going to tell you something. They won't get it. Because it's light. Now bring everything you've got to the light of this word. And the blood takes over. Scatter sin till there be no evidence. Proving the bride. You say, oh boy, I got to get so good. Well, get good. For God's sake, get so good. Then come back and tell me. And let me watch you. And I'll tell you what I'll find if any mean mouth liar. And I'll watch your life. Oh, you boy, you. Ice wouldn't melt in your mouth, according to you. But let me come behind you. Amen. Yeah. This kind of preaching people hate because the old veil doesn't believe in virtue. Not their kind of virtue. No, not their kind. You bet your sweet life I don't. Because I've watched them. Everyone I found a liar. You bet your life. I kid you not. You see, every single man does every single man. I'm talking about these guys. You got no trouble lying. That tells you how the light comes. Like Brother Brand said, it comes. Then it's going to be like the days of Noah. Now, that's exactly what Peter said over here. Now let's get this flat. Better go back to Peter. Okay, First Peter this time, third chapter. Verse 18, for Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which he went to preach to the spirits in prison, went down to theophany, by the Spirit of God, which sometimes is obedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. Why? Who do you think was there at the time of Enoch and Noah? Logos. Don't tell me he wasn't. He went down. Why? Because he was there. He went down and manifested himself. Well, get us back to 2 Peter again then. Third chapter. Scoffers are going to come in the last days, walking after their own lusts, their own desires. Where's the promise of his presence? Since the Father's fellowship, all things continue. The meaning of creation, this you're willing to hear of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. Now that's way back there, of course, in Genesis 1. But I don't have, but what you're doing here, you're bringing the two together. Noah's day and that day.
What was it? The presence of Almighty God. I'm absolutely convinced as I stand here, the Logos had to be back there, same as he is here today. Because you can't have a prophet of the stature of Enoch and Noah without Logos. It's impossible. Because Enoch prophesied the Lord come to 10,000 of his host. With his saints. How's he going to do it except Logos is there? There's no way. All right now. As it was in the time of Noah and the flood. As it was in the time of Lot. Same Logos was there. Now, the controversy then comes over this fact. The excellent voice that brings on glorification, brings the dead out of the ground, makes us glorified, and the people say, well, he's not even here. Yet the prophet said he was.
Amen.
Now we're looking at the subject of glorification more than you think I am by my preaching, because I'm going a long, long way around and come back and forth, back and forth. You do that without notes. I'm keeping in my mind what I want to get across to you. Now we're back here again in Ephesians. All right, watch. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And blessed with all spiritual blessings in place in Christ Jesus, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love having predestined on the adoption of children. Now, Brother Branham said that was the adoption. That was the placing. Now, this was already done in Christ. Now, listen to me. Here's what I'm getting across to you. If you didn't have representation back there for glorification, you don't have it now. No way. Because it's reduced to a spiritual thing. Because when you were in him. Now let's just hold yourself. Let's go to John 17. Okay. Verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Okay? There he was. We are in him. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Okay? Verse 23, I in them and thou in me made perfect in one. The word we know you sent me. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. And that's where he was. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou hast before the foundation of the world. Now notice, what Peter saw and comes to us had a representation before the foundation of the earth. All right. That representation had to be in him. We've got the same representation right now. To the end of glorification. Okay? 1 Corinthians 15. He said that where I am there, they may be also. Now he's talking about this glorification. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 50. This I say, brethren, flesh and not, blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither corruption nor incorruption. And the bodies are already corrupted, and ours are going down. I show you, mystery will not all sleep, will all be changed. Every dead one, every live one. In a moment, changing as the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised in trouble, and we shall be changed. Now it tells you, that's at the last trump. At the time of the seventh church age messenger, comes the resurrection. Because Revelation 10 and 1 is here at the same time Revelation 10 and 7 is here. And Brother Branham said, he said, if that great one following me is a man, then I have had a wrong ministry. But he said, if that great one following me is not a man, he'll increase and I'll decrease. That's exactly what he did. He went off the scene. Now, corruption puts on incorruption. And then death is swallowed up in a victory. Now, so what we're looking at, do you understand? We started in glory back there in the Logos without a theophany. That's why we have no member of memory of anything back there. Jesus, on the other hand, took on himself a theophanic form. So he remembered. See? But we were already in him as not just per representation, but a literacy, a literal condition. We were there, actually there. That's why he said, glorify them with the glory that I had back there. That's exactly where we're going. We're going to go right back to that position of the beginning, and we will receive a glorified body, just like Jesus Christ our Savior. We're coming to it now, absolutely coming to it. Now, this glory which we're looking at, we read it to you here in John. You can go through scripture after scripture. It matters not where you go in the Bible. You'll always come right back to Ephesians, the first chapter. Now notice, when the baptism with the Holy Ghost has run its course, therefore also after heard your faith in the Lord Jesus, love unto all saints, seek not to give thanks, you making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Now notice there. You notice what he is here. Watch again. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he said, glorify me with the glory I had with you in the beginning. Now remember, the Logos came out of God. God becoming, taking on a form, whereby he could begin to manifest his attributes. Now, blessed be this God of our Lord Jesus Christ that blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. In other words, everything that lay in Christ we become heir to, according to representation. Now, he became the glorified Son because of who he is. We become the glorified sons because of who we are. And of whom we are. Now, that we should be holy, predestined us the adoption of children, the placing. And remember, the fullness comes in the resurrection, according to good pleasure his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. So therefore, the program of God starts with the glory and ends in the glory. Which glory is one which comes out of the human instrument that was ordained, that's our bodies, us the children, ordained to come through the processes that God has prefigured for us to come to the place where we have a glorified body just like his. Well, let's go back to the book of Revelation. Third chapter. Beginning of the 14th verse, unto the messenger of the church Laodicea write, these things said the Amen. See? The God of truth, the Amen. The God of truth of Isaiah is really the God of the Amen, because that's what it should be back there. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, God creating himself in the form of man, in human form. God who had the purpose and plan to do this. Now, let's go a little further. We're at the day right now when the dead are going to come out of the ground. The few living bride are going to be changed. Now listen, his presence is here to change us. Now let's understand that. We're already full of the Holy Ghost. We've already got a promise. But his presence is here to raise it in and to change us. Now, that presence that I am talking about, now let's get this flat, has nothing to do with you and me, even though we're full of the Holy Ghost. Forget it. It has everything to do with us and the dead also. It is not a community affair where God is now in a bride, in the body of a bride. That is per individual. The God that's in the individuals in the bride is a minuscule quantity of the light of God, the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about that. Because this is the hour that will run out. And when it runs out, then it's time for the dead to come out and for us to be changed. And I am talking about Him who is here now, called Elohim by Brother Branham, that stands here in our midst, where a bride is one. Now get your eyes off the earth being a circle. Get your eyes off an 8,000 mile diameter and 25,000 mile circumference. Because that's what everybody thinks. Well, how can you mention this bride? Ooh, 25,000 miles, 25,000 miles. Is it bride here? Is it bride here? Ooh, that couldn't be. Look, you ain't got what I got. You ain't got what I got. I should tell you flat. And no preacher got what I got. If you believe that kind of trite. My brother, sister, you don't see a bride anymore scattered around the world. We're talking in the spiritual reality of God where the Holy Ghost makes us one. And now that modicum of spirit that makes us one bride doesn't know time, space, or dimension.
Amen.
And He stands in the midst. He's the head of the church. And the bride, I don't care where she is forming that little group. And He's in the midst of her. The Bible said God will be in the midst of her. I get phone calls. I'm not preaching that because I get phone calls and I get stirred up, and that's not it. I'm explaining. Now, you might not believe that, but I'm telling you the truth. Just tell explaining. Because the preachers, when I talk, they butt in. And I know they're not listening. I know they don't understand what I'm saying. The majority of them are not getting it. And I'm not standing and saying, oh, Lee Vale's got some. Look, I can be going to hell and taking you with me. Let's get this plan. I'm no prime mover from Almighty God. Let's get this. I'm not a prophet, and I'm not vindicated. But I'm still telling you what I believe. I believe in God, period. Before even a light went out of Him, so to speak. And then his brother Branham said the fire was not God, God was in it. I believe that same pillar of fire with the same God is here now. And it doesn't have one thing to do with me personally. That's over with. As far as my redemption and rebirth is concerned, and as a bride in the conglomerate, I'm talking about Him standing here Himself. Let me read it to you. But the picture as I have here in Hebrews. Now, verse 12 of Hebrews 2, saying, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I'll put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. I'm talking about an individual surrounded. All right, listen. Verse 11, for he that sanctifies, both he that sanctifies and they that are sanctified are all of one source, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. All right. Each individual member that's in the bride has the same source that he had, has to be because we were in him. And where did he come from? See? Where did every horse come from? Every cow come from? Every orange come from? An original. And everyone was in that. Alright, there's where he was in. And we're in him. Now every son is ready to be manifested. And to this end time, which is that glory which was spoken of. And it's something so irrefutably manifested by God Himself that you know this is the hour and you're part of it. But that doesn't mean I'm going to stand here and say that if you die, you're not bride. Because look, I'm going to tell you something flat. I could get out of here and I am bride.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, you bet. I don't pull my horns in anymore for these guys that run around. I care less what they say. Oh, they get me fighting mad at times, but that's beside the point. That's my cotton picking stupid nature. But I'll get over one day. I'll be dead. Yeah, I don't care. See, because I know what the prophet said. Yeah. I know what God spoke to my heart, too. And I'm not stupid. I may be ignorant. A lot of things, but not stupid. Even my enemies, I don't think I'm saying I'm stupid. Now listen. He stands in the midst. There's coming an hour when that one that's in our midst will give nobody any more Holy Ghost. None. The last one will be child trained. And the dead will come out of the ground. And we'll all be standing here looking at that glorious bride from all over. You say, what about if they raise up in Egypt? Fine, I'll see them just the same. What do you think? You think I'm going to be bound by the fact that there's a 25,000 mile circumference in this earth? And it's round? Hogwash. God ain't bound.
Amen.
No, I'm not saying I'm God. I'll be a glorified person. Travel like the speed of thought. Not like that Abba Kagopian who said during the millennium, we're going to dial ourselves in telephone booths across the country. You know, dial ourselves. And he saw cities under great plexiglass domes. A civilization, Brother Brad said, ain't nothing to it. That fellow saw me coming, you know, and I was coming in Miami. I came with a nice sweet spirit just to learn a little bit about him. He was scared stiff when he saw me. He said the Lord had warned him. He said that the terrible man was coming, and I was a terrible man. Sure, because I was there to just see what made him tick, and I found it right away. Nothing that I want. Nothing that I want. I want a millennium where you got plastic bubbles. Fat. That's a bubble dream.
Amen.
Oh, brother. Sadhu Sundar Singh had more in the ball. That old East Indian mystic. He'd go up there and tiger follow him. Pat the tiger on the head. Push him over, tickle his tummy. Tiger purr like a kitten and walk off. Would have bitten somebody's hand off and his head with it. Now that would be interesting, wouldn't it? As a sign of what's coming. Could be. When this love comes in the church, remember Brother Brand stopped the hornets, stopped the bull from goring him? Oh yeah, the bride's going to have something real sweet and beautiful. But she's not going to run out there trying to take up an offering and this and that and every other crazy crackpot thing. No. I just want you to get to know, brothers, understand this. He is here for the purpose that was predestined. Your representation was there. And now the great representative is here. And we that were in him and destined to glorification are absolutely going to have it because the sure word of prophecy has come to pass. That God doesn't trust anybody to reveal his word, he comes and manifests it, which is the revelation. So here we are at the end time. And if we're dead by morning, wonderful. I'd sooner get out of here anyway. I'm not interested in sticking around. I'll be honest with you, any more than you are if you just admit it. Yeah. You say, Brother Vail, you psyched yourself. I don't mind. Whatever psyched me, I believe was gone. Let me know for once in my life his word doesn't lie. Let me know for once in my life that grace abounds. Let me know that he lives up to all the best, that the blood covers, doesn't make you careless, doesn't make you stupid, doesn't make you lazy, doesn't mess you up. But know this, brother, sister, you're not going to get there on your own. But you've got one here that will get you there. And you look at yourself all you want, I can tell you this, go ahead and look at yourself. You just drive yourself. You just drive yourself nuts and everybody else around you nuts. Sure, get over it. I'm not telling you to go out there and get over and get into sin. You say, oh, I can do anything I want now, therefore I'll just go and burn a barn down. Well, if it's your own barn, go ahead and burn it down. But make sure you check with the fire warden to see if it's possible. You may not be allowed to burn your own barn down. No, I'm not telling anything anybody crazy here tonight. Do sinful, stupid things or anything else. That's not, I've never taught that, never will. Why do you think I want to get out of here? Because I hate all that junk. Well, I'm going to tell you, he's going to get me out of here. Because he said so. That's his word. He's here to do it. Now, you think for 1 minute he's not going to do it? You think he's going to do it to somebody down the road that scoffs and laughs and everything else? What happened to Pentecost that saw Brother Branham? And the boy said, oh, hey, this is Bible time. If you can do that, go ahead and do it. Oh, the voice of the sign didn't say that. The voice of the sign said something different. He's here.
Amen.
Yeah. Not like people think he's here, but like he is here. Just like Paul. Like brothers, how wonderful. Just think he said the same pillar of fire that gave the word is here revealing it. That's how he's here. Yep. To raise the dead. The word's here. The shout. That's not. Listen, the message is not for the dead. The message is for us. And when that message works, it's working. The dead's going to come out. But I'm going to tell you, his presence isn't valuable to anybody that's not full of the Holy Ghost. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, how can you turn it down? Because Brother Brand said, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you'll say amen to every word. He said every word, this word here. But let's face it, a lot of this word doesn't apply anymore. A lot of this word never did apply to you and me. It's to the message. Laodicea, the man that came in the Laodicean age brought a message.
Amen.
And that was a shout. That was klousma. And klousma is subjection. Puts himself at the head of the church in order to raise the dead. And death becomes subject. Everything becomes subject because we are his subjects. Representation in him. And he's here right now. We've got representation. That's why I'm happy tonight. Might not sound like it. Just like a good old knockdown, shaken up deal. He's here, brother, sister. People say what they want. You bet. And they're going to see this. He said, greater things you'll see. And I'm going to tell you something. Brother Branham, he let the cat out of the bag. And he let us know positively. It wasn't said to a lot of people. It said to one person, greater works than these. One person was going to do. And Brother Branham said he had more results in his ministry in my life than he did in his own. Because it went plumb around the world 7 times roughly. Christ never had that bigger crowd. Now he healed them all. So did Brother Branham. Hey, sure. Didn't make him God. But the great one is here in the midst tonight. Yep. I believe that. Now, as I said, greater works than these. Shall you do that's been done. But Jesus said one day, he said, greater works my Father do. Greater works to be done that you may wonder. And I'm going to tell you, brother, this is the greatest wonder I'm looking for. See those graves open. See the dead come out. Yeah, I believe I'm going to see him. You say, well, you think you're worthy? No, I didn't say I was worthy. I just, I believe I'm going to see him. What does that got to do with it? I can go to London to see the Queen. I could have seen the jolly old Queen the last time we were over there, but I didn't bother to stay for the change in the guards, what have you. I wasn't going to go down every day and see what was going on and see if she'd come out. She wasn't going to wave anyway. Too much like the little girl. The teacher said, well, didn't you see the Queen? Yes, but did she see me? I got one who sees me.
Amen.
You try to get to the Queen, she's too hoity-toity. Who needs her? I couldn't get to Nixon even though I tap danced with him one night in my dream. Who needs it? Huh? I'm trying to get something across you, brother, sister. The King of Kings is here. In the midst tonight. Prophet, the judge, the king. See? Just waiting. More and more and more moving into that realm of glorification. Reincarnation. And we're going to glorification. Okay. Jason, tonight we thank you, Lord, for the blood that cleanses. We wouldn't make light of you, Lord, or anything at all. Though thus we speak harsh sometimes and crude and all, don't mean to be that way within ourselves. But looking what's going on, not scoffing at you, Lord, you know that. But scoffing, Lord, at those things that are going on because we have nothing to do with them. Nor will we have because we know that you are here and you're here exactly as the prophet said. Just think how wonderful the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. I believe it. I believe the same one that came down to shout. Absolutely. Brother Branham said, by our gathering together was a message. Bringing in subjection. Bringing everything in divine order. It's working it all out perfectly. I believe that. So Heavenly Father, we just look to you now. In love and mercy you've put upon us. Knowing the next step is glorification. Going from glory to glory.
Oh, God, the church began coming out years ago under Luther. It went to a glory. Under Wesley, a further glory. Under Pentecost, Helter Skelter was even a greater glory still, yet there was no leader. And now is one born out of due season. A church age messenger comes on the scene with that perfect word of God, the same pillar of fire, revealing as brought it. And now we're going to the final glory. Absolutely. And you said, come to me, and I'll see that you have everything that's going to put you in that resurrection, put you in the glory land. I believe it, Lord. I believe you're here to do it tonight. Cleanse our hearts, O God. Cleanse our minds, we pray. Cleanse our spirits, Lord. Make us more serious than ever. This is a great failure we have, Lord. The great, great, great failure right now. Everything pressing in us as it was in the days of Noah. The days of Lot buying and selling and pounding and hammering and doing this and doing that. And so we should. But in moderation and in temperance, knowing that there is one thing that counts more than any, and that is your word, O Lord. O God, when we just even take a minute with it, how it opens up and how it thrills, how it lines up with everything said by the prophet. Lord, it's marvelous. And to know that that word is not just a revelation, it is going to be absolutely the revelation come into human figure, that the dead will come out of the ground and we'll be changed and caught away. So, Lord, be with us tonight, we pray. Heal the sick amongst us, Lord. We thank you for what you've done for us already. You've been so good to us, Lord. You've helped us. Time after time, we've had our needs, physical, spiritual, this, that, and the other thing, Lord. And every single time, you've been good to us and helped us. And now tonight, Lord, we're asking again for continuing mercy and grace. May we be aware, Lord God, as never before, of your love and blessing. May we, Lord, be more consecrated to it. For surely, Lord, it's worthwhile where nothing else matters. This is what matters. The food for the journey, the strength that comes out of the life that has been brought to us. Father, we know you're with us. And we know that it's a confrontation, it's a face-to-face. We realize that. And we don't want to be here forever and ever and all time, looking even down the road where we're going to keep saying the same prayers. We know we'll never arrive, Lord, until you arrive for us and change us. But, Lord, we see where Peter mentions here a progression. And I know he looked back in his own life and saw where he boo-booed, he messed up. And Paul had to straighten him. He was instrumental in causing a rift between Barnabas and Paul. Lord, it's a funny situation, but we see it all there in the Word. And we know one day, as Peter's going to come out 100%, Paul and Barnabas, the whole bunch coming out, we're going to come out 100% too.
Thank you.
We're looking to your Word, Lord, tonight to get us there because nothing else will except the promise. And if we're part of that promise, thank you for representation way back there and now. We count it, Lord. We don't need any other way how to make our calling election sure other than what we've already got. By way of a revealed word, we just stand on it. So help us all. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. Sunday, 11 o'clock. Until then, the Lord be with you and help you and bless you and make you more aware of His presence and all that goes with it. Okay, Lloyd, we'll sing Take the Name of Jesus with you.
Take the name of Jesus with you.